My guest today has co-authored more than 50 books on the topic of leadership and management, including the number one bestseller, The 1 Minute Manager, which has sold more than 13 million copies and been translated into 37 languages. In addition to being inducted into Amazon's Hall of Fame as one of the top 25 best-selling authors of all time, Dr. Ken Blanchard is also a speaker, business consultant, co-founder, and what he calls Chief Spiritual Officer of the Ken Blanchard Companies. Ken continues to inspire a new generation of leaders with the publication of his latest books, Who Killed Change? And Helping People Win at Work. Today, Ken joins us to talk about how to be a more effective leader and why strong leadership skills are essential to your personal and professional success. Mr. Ken Blanchard, welcome to Success. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, Darren, it's nice to be with you. I enjoy what you all are doing, and I'm glad to help and be a part.
Fantastic. Well, Ken, I'd like to hear a little bit more about your background first. You founded the Ken Blanchard Companies with your wife, Marjorie, in 1979. So what led up to that? What was the defining moment in your life that gave you the confidence to venture out on your own business?
I taught at Ohio U, and then I went to the University of Massachusetts for 6 years. And then Margie and I had a one-year sabbatical leave. Margie had just finished her doctor's degree, and we headed out to San Diego. And when we got out there, we ran into the Young Presidents Organization, YPO. A good friend of ours had gotten into YPO, and he talked them into, along with one of my doctoral students, to letting me run a seminar for 30 presidents up in San Francisco in fall 1976. And they thought it was just fabulous. And they called the guy who was the education chairman. They have these universities two or three times a year where they bring 1,200 presidents and their spouses together. And they have faculty resources, 30 or 40 come and do sessions out there. And they got me invited to Hawaii in February 1977. And I did a session on Monday morning called Different Strokes for Different Folks on Situational Leadership. And then on Wednesday, I did a session called The Carrot or the Stick, What Makes People Tick on Motivation. And then Friday, I did a session called You Want to Change Something on Change. And I went from 250 people to 700 or 800 to the last day, and they can always choose three or four events. I had the whole conference, and they said, well, you won. You know, you were the most popular resource. What are you going to do at the end of the year? I said, I'm going back to the university. I said, you're crazy. When you're hot, you're hot. Why don't you start your own company? And I said, well, Margie and I we can't even balance our own checkbook. You know, how are we going to start our own company? And they said, we'll help you. And five presidents, one from Mexico City, one from Pennsylvania, one from Illinois, one from Oregon, and one from San Diego, all volunteered to be our advisory board. And they helped us start, which initially was the Blanchard Training and Development. That was 30 years ago, Darren. Mm. And we couldn't even balance our own checkbook, as I said. And, you know, the reason I share that with people is, you know, life is what happens to you when you're planning on doing something else. And don't let anybody discourage you and tell you you can't do anything. You know, just keep your head up and look for opportunities. God, all of a sudden, you know, we're starting our own company. And then we run into Spencer Johnson at a cocktail party in 1980. He wrote children's books. And Margie met him first, and she hand-carried him over and said, you two ought to write a children's book for managers. They won't read anything else. And that was the beginning of The 1 Minute Manager. He was working on a kind of a 1 Minute parenting book with a psychiatrist, and I invited him to a seminar, and he stood in the back, and he laughed all day, came running up and said, forget parenting, let's go for The 1 Minute Manager. And so life is what happens to you, Darren, when you're planning on doing something else.
After all of this, Ken, to whom or what would you say you attribute your success?
I think one of the secrets of my success is that I've been able to collaborate with other people. I've really lived a favorite saying that we have in our company is that none of us is as smart as all of us, and that I really get excited about writing with other people because I get a chance to learn and to grow, and it's permitted Margie and I to create this company that we started, and she was the president initially, and we have six consulting partners. We call them founding partners who've been with us from the beginning, and they didn't leave. You know, most people, you know, when they get some skills, they'll go and start their own company. And I think it's because I have the capacity to create win-win relationships with other people. And I think that's a real secret. I think that if you get the feeling that you're the only smart kid in town and, you know, you got all the brains and all, I think you're going to be limited in your success. I think particularly today with the speed of which things are moving, we need strategic relationships with our organizations. We need strategic relationships with people. We need mentors and all. And I have always had a philosophy when I work with other people that we don't compete with each other. We complete each other.
I like that. That's a great line. And now more than ever, you know, there is no man or woman that is an island unto themselves, especially in this highly connected global marketplace. While we have the leadership guru with us today, I'd like to get to the heart of the question on leadership. What would you say, Ken, is the most essential quality of an effective leader or manager?
I think that Jim Collins in many ways got it, Darren, when he wrote From Good to Great. He talked about two leadership characteristics. One is resolve, which is determination to accomplish a goal, you know, live according to a vision and all. So the first aspect of, I think, a great leader is that you want to get things done, you know. I mean, you have a sense of where you're going. People look to you. Leadership's about going somewhere. And then the second characteristic that he came up with was humility. And what is humility? I wrote a book with Norman Vincent Peale, the old positive thinking minister, called The Power of Ethical Management. And we said in that book that people with humility don't think less of themselves. They just think about themselves less. And so once goals are clear, what you got to do, Darren, is you got to wander around and see if you can catch people doing things right, involve them in decision-making and all. You got to get yourself out of the way and stop thinking that, you know, you're the brightest person in town. See, I believe in servant leadership, and there's two parts of servant leadership. There's the leadership part, which is the vision and direction and all, where we're going, what we're trying to accomplish and all. And that's the traditional hierarchy's role, you know. It doesn't mean you don't involve people, but people look to their boss, look to the head of the organization to say, where are we going, what do we stand for, what are we trying to accomplish? And then the second part is implementation, which is how do you make it happen? And to do that, now we get to the servant part of servant leadership, and you turn the traditional pyramid upside down, and now you basically work for your people. And you're saying, how can I help you win? My latest book called Helping People Win at Work with Gary Ridge, president of WD-40, is a basic business philosophy that he implemented that was one of my philosophies for a long time. Don't mark my paper, help me get an A. Mm. And one of the problems in most organizations when it gets to evaluating people's performance is we're forcing managers and leaders to sort people out into some stupid normal distribution curve. You have to screw a certain percentage of your people, or Jack Welch said, rank order your people. Yeah, that really makes a lot of sense. You know, you can really build a lot of trust with that. And so the whole concept of humility really comes back to say, can you get out of your own way so you're there for your people? At WD-40, at the beginning of every fiscal year, every manager, they call them tribe leaders because they have a tribal culture, sits down with their tribe members individually, and they go over their job requirements and come up with 3 to 5 observable, measurable goals, and that's the final exam. See, when I was a college professor, I used to always give people the final exam at the beginning of class, and the professors say, what are you doing? I say, I'm confused. He said, you acted. I said, I thought we were supposed to teach these kids. You are, but don't give them the questions in the final. And I'd say, not only am I going to give them the questions in the final, what do you think I'm going to do so all semester? I'm going to teach them the answers. So when they get to the final exam, they get A. Life's all about getting A's, not some stupid normal distribution curve. And Gary Ridge was in the first class that we had at University of San Diego. We have a Master of Science in Executive Leadership, MSEL. And I taught them about this philosophy. And he said, God, why aren't we doing that in industry? And for the last 8 years, they've had this philosophy, don't mark my paper, help me get an A, which is, he calls it servant leadership with an edge. And the edge is, we're really holding you accountable for performance, but we're also holding the manager accountable for your performance. And we're going to train you so that you can be responsible. You can be able to respond. And I think when we do that, now the manager's working for their people. And now you got that combination of resolve, which is we're going to accomplish goals, this is going to help our organization, and humility, which permits you to get out of your own way, turn the traditional hierarchy upside down, and help people win at work.
I love that shift, holding the managers responsible for their performance, which should be seemingly obvious, but not something that happens regularly.
It's interesting, Darren, at WD-40, if a manager comes to Gary Ridge or one of the top managers and said, this person's not working out, I think I'm going to have to fire him, their first question is, what did you do to get him an A? Mm. And if they can't document that they helped that person get an A, they will fire the manager, not the poor performer. And they've only had to do that twice. And of course, everybody now knows that the manager is just as accountable for the performance of their people as their people are.
Yeah.
And that's a real team.
That's great accountability for leadership. The question I wanted to ask you, particularly on the topic of leadership, what resources do you recommend for aspiring leaders if they really want to focus on this quality and attribute of becoming a great leader?
Well, I think that getting subscription to your magazine and listening to the tapes and all that. I mean, I am so pleased with the whole new format and what you all have done with that. I just think it's just such a tremendous resource for people. And I think that if you look at the people that you're tapping into in Success Magazine and you read an article, listen to a tape, and somebody excites you, then go onto the web, find out other books that they have and all. If you're excited by what I'm doing, go on our website and see what we're doing. I think that Success Magazine is a wonderful a filter for you to look at who are the really key thinkers out there, what are they thinking about, finding people who resonate with you, then drive deeper into those. And the biggest problem with most people is that they don't do anything with what they learn. And one of the things I want to suggest to you all is that when you find somebody that attracts you, you know, start reading their stuff and go into depth in it. Repetition, repetition, repetition. And remember, the definition of learning is a change in behavior. It's not just change in knowledge and attitude. So that's why you need repetition, repetition, and focus on a few things that you're going to learn. Implement those this year and then see what are you going to work on next year.
I really believe in the idea, study a few books rather than just continuing to breeze through one, put it down, move on to the next without any effective change having occurred in your life as a result of this new knowledge, right? Knowledge is potential power. It's implementation and action and review and improvement that is where the power really lies. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think, Darren, you know, if people would look at Success Magazine as it comes out, they get it every month, is to say, who in this month really resonated with me? And how can I this month really dig into that author, that person, and find out the most? So again, select out of the smorgasbord of information stuff that really resonates and then drive deeply in it.
Yeah, that's one of the best suggestions I've heard about how to use Success Magazine effectively to drive real deep study and mastery and implementation into your life. Now, you talk about an important success strategy, one I believe in greatly, and that is having a mentor. Can you tell our listeners how they can ensure that they're getting the most from a mentor-protege relationship?
Well, the first thing you want to remember with a mentor is that it doesn't need to take a lot of their time, you know, so you don't say, God, I need somebody to really commit a lot of time to me. The best advice I've ever gotten is in short clips, you know, having lunch or breakfast with somebody and just telling them what I'm working on and ask their advice and all. You will be amazed how successful business people are willing to be mentors to people when it's not taking them a lot of time. You're just sort of, you know, part of their group that you call or you talk to when you got a problem. And they're willing to to share. So don't go and say to somebody, would you be my mentor and all. Just go act like their mentor. Have breakfast with them. Have lunch with them. Give them a call on the phone and say, you know, I'm working on this and you've been down this road a long time. Do you have any thoughts or suggestions for me? And then listen. Be open to learn. And recognize that there's going to be a lot of mentors in your life. And look for mentors. Recognize that you're not the smartest person in the world, and you're open to listen to others.
I really like your adjustment on this concept, Ken. Instead of having it to be this all-involved, all-consuming, and feels like a big obligation to a mentor, just treating them like a mentor, taking them to lunch, and using a variety of people for a variety of different situations and a variety of different issues all the time, it certainly will allow a protege to feel like they can actually involve higher-level people without feeling like this person would never have the ongoing depth of time that it would be necessary for them to, quote-unquote, be my mentor. So that's a really great reframing.
I think, Darren, it's another way people can use Success Magazine because, you know, I know a lot of the people that you have been featuring in there. And, you know, you always give their email and all. And if, boy, you had a question or something you emailed, I guarantee you somebody in their staff would email you back and all. Because I think we love it when people are interested in what we have to say and what we have to teach. And if they got further questions, I think that's a wonderful way for you to get a mentor.
Now, giving back is an important part of the success philosophy, and this is something that I know you take very seriously. Can you tell us about Blanchard for Others and that initiative within your company?
Yes, we have two big initiatives there in our company. One is Blanchard for Others, and that's all chaired and run by our people, and people can get a deduction off of their paycheck to give to Blanchard to Others. And my wife and I, we match anything that the people in the company give. And at some point in the year, they interview different charities and different groups and choose three or four that we're going to, you know, spend our big focus time this year in helping. But they also are willing to take proposals from individual members about something that they're concerned in and all. The other thing we have is a give back program. We take a certain percentage of our profit every year and we give it to our people to distribute to charities of their choice. They have to be 501 charities and they have to give to a project, not just to the general fund. And so people can actually learn to tithe, to give back, and we want to model that. I never forget, I was with Sir John Templeton, the great financial advisor, one time, and I said to him, what's the greatest advice you've ever given people financially over the years? He said, tithing. He said, I've never known people who have tithed for 10 years who didn't have it coming back tenfold. There's a replenishment promise in the Bible, and he said, don't wait to tithe until you have money. In fact, what people ought to do is, no matter what income you have, is give 10% away to good causes. Put 10% in a bank for rainy days and then learn to live on 80%. And I guess we'd be a lot better off in our country if more people had that philosophy. So I wrote a book with Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, called The Generosity Factor. And we really think that's so important. And Truett and Chick-fil-A is one of the most generous families and companies that I know. And they kill the competition and terms of loyalty of employees and sales and all those things, because they're a values-driven company.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you perpetuating that philosophy of generosity and giving back and going out and trying to make a contribution to society. You know, I do want to ask you one last question, Ken, and that is, as a legend of success and a legend within the personal development, personal achievement industry, now 30 years, 50 books, and tens of millions of copies of those books. When you look back and the world looks back 50, 100 years, 150 years from now, what do you want it to be said was your legacy, your greatest contribution through your work about Ken Blanchard?
Well, you know, somebody introduced me a while back and they said that I was the number one advocate in the world for human dignity. And I thought, wow, that's really a neat kind of thing that I'd love to be remembered, because I just have such confidence in human beings if we will reach out to them and involve them and bring out the best in them, you know. I mean, we see a lot of bad behavior around the world and we assume that people are bad and people get off of track. But I think that there's so many good news stories out there, and that's one of the things I love with you all in Success Magazine is that you're publishing a lot of good news stories. And so I would love to just be remembered that I cared and I really was an advocate of human potential and that human beings not only, you know, can be great but want to be great if we create an environment that brings out their magnificence. And that, to me, is what it's all about.
That's beautiful, Ken. I just want to tell you, I've thoroughly enjoyed this interview. I have been diligently taking notes through this interview that I can't wait to share with others and can't wait for this to actually be released inside the pages of Success Magazine. And there's so much here that I'm sure we're going to have to provide additional clips available on success.com so that they can get the comprehensiveness of this discussion. So, Ken, thank you very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Darren. And I just appreciate the work that you all are doing, and I'm always willing to help. So I hope this makes a difference in some people's lives. So thank you for the opportunity.
You're a true legend. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.